My dearly beloved in Christ, today, September 11th, 9/11, is, as you know, the 15th anniversary of the terrorist attack on our country on this day in 2001. And for those of us old enough to remember, the children would not recall this, but those images of the Twin Towers burning, the planes having struck them, of the plane that crashed into the Pentagon, etc., these images are seared in our memory. And we think to ourselves, what a terrible thing for those people. I think of the people who got onto those four airplanes that were hijacked that day, or the people who went to work in the Twin Towers that morning. I wonder how many of them thought, this could be the last day of my life. And yet, that is a thought we should have really every day. Every day is a preparation for death. And we should have that thought in our mind. That is not a morbid thought, it is realistic, and indeed, it is spiritually profitable and advisable for us to often call to mind that one day, sooner or later, we will be called by God out of this world. Now, the number that is given for those who died in the attacks on 9/11 is, I believe, 2,996, so just under 3,000. And in the years since then, more than 1,000 have died from the effects of the toxic working at Ground Zero, having contracted many of the firemen, policemen, etc., first responders, having contracted cancer, lung cancer in particular. But I decided to do a little search on the internet. How many people die every day? Now, we are very much affected, and were affected, and have been affected by such attacks. When a large number of people die having been gunned down or killed in these various terrorist attacks, it impresses us, it affects us. But how many people die every day? Well, according to the figures I found, in the entire world, approximately 155,000 people die every day. And in this country, the number is 6,775. So, on the average, 6,775 people die every day in the United States. We should think about that, because one day, we will be among that number. And when we really think about it, our entire life is a preparation for death. For life is very fleeting. It goes by quickly. It may seem to be a long time, but when you compare even the longest life, 80, 90, or more years, what is that compared to the length of eternity? And of course, our eternity is dependent upon how we live in this life. Now, we all know that our divine Lord often spoke about preparation for death. Our Lord said, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and suffer the loss of his soul? He said, you must be always ready, for that at an hour that you think not, the Son of Man will come. Will come for you, will come for me, will call us. He even said that death will be like a thief in the night. Someone who is robbed in the middle of night and did not expect it at all. How many people die unexpectedly every day? Here's another quotation. This one has to do primarily with covetousness or attachment to the material things of this world. And it is taken from the 12th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel. And he said to them, take heed and beware of all covetousness. For a man's life doth not consist in the abundance of things which he possesseth. And he spoke a similitude to them, saying, the land of a certain rich man brought forth plenty of fruits. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits." And he said, "This will I do. I will pull down my barns and will build greater. And into them will I gather all things that are grown to me and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thy rest, eat, drink, make good cheer.' But God said to him, 'Thou fool, this night do they require thy soul of thee, and whose shall those things be which thou hast provided?'" How true that some people who spend so much time on the material goods of this world and acquiring and enjoying material things, very soon they will have to leave it all. And then those things will be owned, possessed, used by someone else. There is a story told in a book by St. Alphonsus Maria Liguori called Preparation for Death, a very good book, I might add. And he tells a story of a man, Thomas a Kempis, the author of a wonderful book called The Imitation of Christ. And Thomas a Kempis was once invited by his brother to see his new home. He had built this house, and he was very proud of it. And his brother, Thomas a Kempis, was a monk, but he went to visit him. And he showed him through the house, and he said, "What do you think of it?" And Thomas said to his brother, "Well, it has one defect. It has a door." "What?" said his brother. "A door is a defect?" And Thomas a Kempis said, "Well, through that door, one day your body will be carried out after you die." And his point in saying this was to bring his brother back to the realization that, yes, it's nice to have a nice house, but what really matters is preparing for the house of our eternity, our dwelling in eternity. There's also a story told, and I can't recall the book. It may be the book on purgatory, but the story is about a man in England after the Protestant Reformation. And as you know, after the time of Henry VIII, the practice of the Catholic religion was outlawed in England. Priests had to flee, or if they operated in hiding, it was at the risk of their lives. And everyone was required to attend the Anglican service in the local church, because all the churches were taken away from the Catholic Church and were now Anglican. And there was this one wealthy man who knew that the Catholic religion is the true religion, but out of a fear of losing his possessions, because he would have to pay a fine every time he failed to attend the Anglican service. So out of a fear of losing his material things, he went to the Anglican service every Sunday. And he said to himself, he kept an elderly priest in his house. And he said to himself, "When I come to die, I will just ask this priest to come and give me absolution." So he thought he had covered all the bases, you might say. Well, one day, very suddenly, he became gravely ill and realized he was dying. And he said to his servant, "Go to the priest's room and bring him here at once." And the servant went to the priest's room, and he looked all around the room, and he couldn't find the priest. And he went back and told his master, "I went to his room, and I didn't see him there." And the master said, "He has to be here. He hasn't gone anywhere. Look through the whole house. He's got to be here. Hurry." Well, the servant went out in the garden. He went through every room in the house, asked the other servants. No one had seen him. He went back. And in the meantime, the master had died. And after the master died, that servant went back to the priest's room, and he looked in, and there was the priest sitting there reading his breviary. And the servant said to him, "Where have you been? I just came here a little bit ago looking for you, and you weren't here." And the priest said, "What do you mean I wasn't here? I've been here the whole time, sitting here reading my breviary, saying my prayers, doing my reading." And the servant realized that as a punishment to his master who had committed the sin of presumption, that that priest was invisible to him. A just punishment of God for that man's hypocrisy and his sin of presumption. And so the point here is that we must prepare for death, and indeed we are preparing for the end of our lives. And this is something that should not be looked upon as a morbid thought. Some people are afraid to think about death, but for a good Catholic, it is simply reality. In fact, we look forward to being with Jesus and Mary in heaven. What did St. Paul say? I desire to be dissolved and to be with Christ. Dissolved meaning the bond uniting body and soul, that it be dissolved or broken so that my soul can fly and be with God in heaven. That was his desire. We read in the lives of the saints that they often meditated upon death. In fact, there are some saints you will see pictured with a skull next to them. And that doesn't mean that they literally had a skull in their room, but it means they thought about death every day. Saint Aloysius Gonzaga even had as his motto to live by, quid hoc ad aeternitatem, which means roughly, what does this have to do compared to eternity? How will this affect my place in the next life? And when we think about it in that way, and we measure everything we do and our whole life from that measuring stick of eternity, how many things are utterly unimportant? And we become sometimes so engrossed in certain things or certain things we want, and yet we think to ourselves, well, how does that affect my place in eternity? That is what really matters. And I would like to conclude by reading a little bit from this wonderful book, one of the most beautiful books ever written, called The Imitation of Christ. And there is a chapter in the first part, the first book, chapter 23, called Thoughts of Death. And the author puts things so well, so succinctly, that it would be hard to summarize or paraphrase. So I will just simply read a few of the verses. Very quickly must you be gone from hence. See then how matters stand with you. A man is here today, and tomorrow he is vanished. And when he is taken out of sight, he is also quickly out of mind. Oh, the dullness and the hardness of man's heart, which only thinks of what is present and looks not forward to things to come. Thou oughtest in every action and thought so to order thyself as if thou wert immediately going to die. If you had a good conscience, you would not much fear death. It would be better to flee sin than to be afraid of death. If you are not prepared today, how will you be tomorrow? Tomorrow is an uncertain day, and how do you know that you shall be alive tomorrow? In the morning, and I'm skipping some of it, you can read it on your own. In the morning, imagine that you shall not live till night, and when night comes, presume not to promise yourself the next morning. So in other words, to say to yourself, God could take me tonight or in the morning. I may be taken by God today. Be therefore always prepared and live in such a manner that death will never find you unprovided. You remember that prayer, it's contained in the Litany of the Saints, that prayer of Holy Mother Church, from a sudden and unprovided death, deliver us, O Lord. A good prayer to say. A sudden death is not necessarily something to fear, because if we are living a good life, then we are always ready for death. But a sudden and unprovided death should be dreaded above all things, above all evils. Many die suddenly, and when they little think of it, because at what hour you know not, said our Lord, the Son of Man will come. When that last hour shall come, you will begin to have quite other thoughts of your whole past life, and you will be exceedingly grieved that you have been so negligent and remiss. And that's a good point. To think to ourselves, in any given occasion, well, when it comes to the end of my life and I look back to today, How will I look upon it? Will I be pleased with this decision I'm making, with this way I'm living, with this way I'm acting, or not? It's a good way to judge of the value of our actions. And again, skipping most of this, a few more verses. Why do you think to live long when you are not sure of one day? How many, thinking they were going to live long, have been deceived and unexpectedly snatched away? How often have you heard related that such a man was slain by the sword, another drowned, another falling from on high broke his neck? This man died at the table, that other came to his end when he was at play. Some have perished by fire, some by the sword, some by pestilence, some by robbers, and thus death is the end of all, and man's life passes suddenly like a shadow. So let us, especially on a day like this, when we're calling to mind those terrible events of 9/11, 15 years ago, to call to mind that one day will be our last day, and every day should be a preparation for a good death. May God grant us all to die in His grace, and to ensure that, let us be sure that we live in His grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.